Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 19th of October, 2020. Monday, another Monday, inching us closer to Election Day, only a couple of weeks away. Man, time is flying. Time's just flying. Last week flew by. This week, we've got a big debate to look forward to. The last debate, they didn't reschedule the second debate. And so we've got only two debates this time. We'll see if this debate goes off. Will Joe Biden develop a cough or who knows? Joe Biden has actually gone into seclusion. Joe Biden will not be doing any public events between now and Thursday. It's amazing. Now, depending on what next comes out about Hunter Biden from that laptop, maybe Joe will have to come out and give a speech. But considering the fact that most of the media is ignoring that story, they likely will not force him to come out, because if he comes out and gives a speech, then they're going to have to cover that speech. And that would give that would breathe, as they say in the business, that would breathe life into the story. And Lord knows Democrats don't want to breathe life into that story. And they haven't diligently. My God, I've never seen a media work so hard to make sure that people do not learn about information. They say it's unverified. It's unverified. It's amazing what you can't verify when you refuse to try to verify it, isn't it? It's just amazing. We can't verify. This information is unverified. Have you tried to verify it? Well, no, we haven't. We just know that it's not verified, and therefore we're not going to. Look, stop changing the topic. The computer was hacked. No, it wasn't. Yeah, but still. When your ultimate defense results in, yeah, but still, you don't ultimately have a defense. And Democrats in the media do not have a good defense of Joe Biden. That's why they're pretending that this doesn't happen. Kristen Welker, who's going to be moderating this debate, has already announced the topics. It doesn't look like there's anything in there to fit in corruption of the Hunter family, but the Biden family. But I suspect that that Donald Trump will find a way to work it in there, and Joe will get indignant. By then, I mean, they've had a week and a half. They've had actually a couple of years. They should have had a good response to this by now. That they don't is, I think, an indication of how just for granted they seem to be taking this election, which is why I hope they lose, amongst many, many reasons why I hope they lose. Yeah, you can email me, by the way, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. It's A-L-L-A-N, the way that the good Lord intended that middle name, that name to be spelled. And thanks to everybody in the compliments and the emails on the Curse Show at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. It really is cathartic. It's up there for those of you who didn't listen to it yet. They're all up there. So for $5 a month, you get extra shows, extra cursing, real cursing. There is cursing on the show today, I have to warn you, just going in, because I talked to my good friend Kurt Schlichter, and you can't talk to Kurt Schlichter without dropping a couple of obscenities. They're not peppered throughout. They're sprinkled throughout. There are probably like three or four of them. So if you're sensitive to such things, you have been warned. But otherwise, I don't think they're particularly egregious. We just pick Kurt's brain about everything that is going on in the insanity, because it really does seem to be turning into a world of his fiction novels, which is scary, scary, scary as hell. So you get to hear Kurt Schlichter, but you'll hear Kurt Schlichter right after this word from Life Change Tea, the tea that makes you go. That's right. Stopped up? I got the solution. Feeling less energy? I've got the solution. You go to getthetea.com. You order yourself some Life Change Tea. You follow the instructions. You just drink a small cup of it every day. It'll make you regular. It'll clean you out, and it'll enable your body. It'll empower your body. Don't you want to be empowered to absorb more of the nutrition from the food that you eat? It's a miracle thing. I hear from a lot of you all the time about, wow, that stuff really works, because that stuff really does work. You go to getthetea.com, Life Change Tea. Read the instructions. Follow the instructions. You'll be regular, and you'll be back to your energy levels. Don't forget to enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. Click apply. You get free fast shipping. That is getthetea.com, promo code Derek. Click apply for free fast shipping. Thanks to them. Thanks to you guys for patronizing them. Help me out immeasurably. Okay, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Schlichter. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined now because this week, this time, requires a lot of bitching insight, I should say. I thought, who's better to provide bitching insight than my buddy Kurt Schlichter out there in California? And so he joins us now via the miracle of Skype. How's it going out there on the left coast, Kurt?
Oh, everything is wonderful. Everything is amazing.
You're just enjoying the liberties that and the freedoms that God and the founding fathers bestowed upon this nation, and the governor staying out of the way and not being a total douche or anything?
Yeah, that's it, except exactly the opposite.
Exactly the opposite. Your new book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, is out now. Pick up a copy. Kurt, let me ask you something about, before we get into just the news of the day, we're seeing a lot of people out there flee California. Now, you have a law practice out there in California, but are you considering getting the hell out of there?
Not at the moment. It has certainly occurred to us, and I have friends who are leaving. But, you know, I've got a lot of stuff here, including a business, and, you know, it's always good to be a lawyer, especially in a place that's designed to make lawyers wealthy. So, you know, I mean, I've got reasons to, reason to stick around.
You would, you'd maybe at retirement, you'd get the hell out of Dodge?
Could be. That could happen.
Well, you grew up in California. What have you witnessed in your lifetime changes that have been dramatic and specific to the last couple years?
Well, when I got to California, it was 1972, and I was six, and I'd been kicked out of Ohio for being, you know, it's a very genuine, wonderful place full of nice people. I didn't fit in. And, you know, I got out here, and it was the land of Ronald Reagan. He was the governor. And there was opportunity. And the first time I left was to go into the Army. And I immediately came back and decided to go to L.A. because I just assumed that L.A. is where you want to go if you want to do things. And I got to L.A. and I did a lot of the things I wanted to do. It never occurred to me not to, but I see a whole generation that's growing up not being able to do things, seeing limitations, failures. You know, California used to be the cutting edge, and now it's a joke. Unless you live in the blue cities, then it's just fine. It's just fine for me. I you know, nice restaurants. Cops don't like criminals in our area usually. But for the vast majority of Californians, it sucks.
Are you allowed to go to restaurants now?
You're allowed to eat outside. Because if you're inside, the virus magically gets you. I'm having lunch with somebody on Tuesday, and I'm considering calling it a women's march so we can be together inside and we'll be immune. So I'm rolling that around in my head.
Well, your governor issued a tweet a couple of weeks ago saying, sit at the table and take your mask off only when feeding food into your mouth. The rest of the time, put your mask back on while you chew and everything. And California is a very liberal state. It's a very progressive state, I guess is another way to put it.
But yeah, it's full of idiots.
Even the leftists have to have their limits, don't they?
No, there's no bottom. That's the myth. There's no bottom. And we're seeing that, you know, with the Joe Biden stuff. Everyone knows all this evidence is true. They know Joe Biden is corrupt. They know his son is corrupt. And they don't, it doesn't matter to them. They actively and willingly lie to try and tell you it doesn't exist when they know it does. And it's everything is a lie. There is nothing they won't do. Robert Reich today came out with a tweet saying he wants a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, to purify after the Trump regime is repudiated. And all I could think of is, how fucking stupid are you people?
Well, it's the third Reich. Robert Reich, the Third Reich. It was an idea.
He's the third of a size of a normal man.
I know he is. He's a little dwarf. It was an idea floated a couple of weeks ago by Chris Hayes, and it could be easily dismissed as, well, they're just being hyperbolic. But these people, I think, mean this sort of stuff. And that's incredibly frightening in a country that, you know, when power is transferred, people move from one side, you know, they just move on. But I don't think we're there anymore. I had Don Jr. on the show last week or the week before, something like that. And I asked him, do you think you're going to have to spend the rest of your life, whenever your father leaves office, be it this January or January in 2025, do you think you're going to have to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder because your government is going to be coming after you? And it does seem as though the left is setting up to really, for all the chance of lock her up and the pearl clutching that they feign over that, it does seem to me like they're ready to sick the government on the Trump family and Trump administration officials for the rest of their lives.
I think it's an incredibly dangerous situation to try and do that. Do they not think this has happened before in history? And how did that end? Do they think that they stop history, Derek? That, okay, we'll get power back, and then the status quo will be forever. The other guys will respect the old rules, not the new ones. Everything will be fine. They'll just give in.
Well, ask Harry Reid how changing the rules and thinking that everything would end there. You can't punch. For a long time, Democrats could punch Republicans in the face and Republicans would take it. There was no hitting back. Yeah, there was no hitting back. Now there is hitting back. Now there is constant hitting back, and they don't know how to handle it. We've got just over 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to go before this thing ends. What's your prediction on not how the election goes, but how the country goes, no matter what happens?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the election. I think the most likely thing is, I think, a Trump victory without a lot of months and months of hassle. I think it'll be very clear that.
Do you write about that a lot? I'm always a pessimist. Do you honestly believe that?
I think that's the most likely result. I'm not fooling myself to think it's the only one. And I was wrong last time. I thought Hillary was going to clobber him.
No.
But I'm not. Based on the evidence I'm seeing, the only thing in Biden's favor are some polls. Record of failure. And we know they're largely commissioned by people who are actively lying to us, the mainstream media. And the idea that there's some sort of boundary where they're going to be like, well, I'll lie to you about everything else, but not the polls. No, the polls, they're honest, even though they happen to say exactly what I once said, which doesn't jibe with anything else. Then there's Trump after a long fight. Biden wins easily. Biden after a long fight. And I think if Biden wins, I think that's Biden promises normalcy, but Biden and his people are too stupid and evil and unwise to bring back normalcy. Their version of normalcy isn't normalcy. It's essentially a one-party state like California forever, and that doesn't work.
Well, if Joe Biden wins, he will have won and be beholden to people who genuinely hate this country. Genuinely hate this country.
Well, that's always true with Democrats.
But this, I think it's never been more so because he wasn't one of them. And now he has to bow to them. He put one of them on the ticket.
Well, look, the minute he gets elected, the press is going to discover the Biden corruption. And they'll be shameless about it, but they'll use it to get rid of him. And he will go away for his health within a year.
You really think so? You think?
Yes.
Because I don't. How is he going to push back? If he's not willing to say, look, court packing is ridiculous, it would be a never-ending escalation. And look at what happened when Harry Reid nuked the filibuster.
Well, he'll do whatever he thinks is to his advantage. But I don't know if they have the Senate votes to break the filibuster, much less pack the Senate.
It's very, I don't know. You've been in politics for a long time. You travel the world with the military. You've studied history. People love to say we've never been this divided before. I know we have been more divided than this. I mean, hell, we went to war with each other.
I think then is the only time.
You really think that this is the second worst we've been?
Yes.
Why?
I'm using the lead up to the Civil War too. I mean, we don't have Kansas and Missouri shooting it out on their border yet. By the way, I'm writing the fifth book in my series about, you know, America in a couple of years when that kind of thing happens. But you know, the lead up to the Civil War and the Civil War itself were worse. The level of hatred against conservatives is so enormous, it's having a reaction they never considered, which is the level of conservative hatred towards leftists is, let me tell you, it's mind-boggling. And if you get the right spark, it absolutely could erupt into violence. It already has in some places, but when I mean violence, I mean the conservative side fighting back in a coherent fashion.
What does that look like, though? Because neither side is the military. And I'd like to think the military would be loath to get involved. But even if given orders by a president, anybody, to go out there and take out these people, I just don't think that the military is going to want to...
Military don't have the capability to do that. First of all, the military command would absolutely order the military to kill civilians to preserve the establishment. I have no question that they would.
You have a big problem with the military establishment. Yeah, you've experienced it. You were a colonel in the army.
I think that the senior command of the military is a disaster. It is weak and stupid and corrupt and immoral. And its values, unfortunately, the civil military divide has been bridged to such a point where, you know, the military has joined the civilian side. It wants civilian acceptance.
Is cancel culture something that worries the military, you think?
I'm sorry?
Do you think cancel culture has infiltrated the military?
Oh, yeah. The generals are for it. You have to understand it is the military has adopted these progressive things. The idea that military some sort of conservative organization, the way we think of conservatives, is ridiculous. It's conservative and it wants to conserve its power structure. You go up in rank, you get out, you go work for a contractor. And the higher rank you are, the higher the payday. That's
terrifying.
What senior officers on active duty are about.
No, well, you're right about that, but I don't know. It seems like it would ruin your brand if you're the guy who wiped out 1,000 civilians in St. Louis because they
Do you think it would ruin your brand? You might get promoted.
Well, maybe.
The general who does the dirty work for the winner is going to be amply rewarded. Now, there are practical problems. First of all, the troops are quite different than leaders. The NCOs are quite different. The idea that our guys would blindly obey is that would happen in some cases, and there are, it wouldn't. I mean, you look at cops, and there are cops who, will go and, arrest you for going to church. So there are always the weak ones who would do that thing. But you would here's the dirty little secret about the military. How many brigades are there? Brigades, 5,000 guys. That's the combat maneuver element. You take a really of usable brigades, maybe 80 or 90, including reserve brigades, in 50 states. Do you know how many brigades it would take to hold Los Angeles?
You do. You did it.
I do. I was part of it. We had about 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 brigades in Los Angeles during the riots. And we had sort of control over. We didn't have an insurgency. We had riots. We didn't have anybody shooting at us. But 10% of America, it would take to keep Los Angeles, and I don't mean Orange County and South, and I don't really mean the Valley. I mean, Los Angeles, the kind of the city area. It'd take 8 to 10 brigades.
What do you think? Any violence
of America's military land force to suppress this city.
So do you think we're looking more at whoever wins, there's a protest march or whatever downtown city acts, doesn't really matter, and then the other side shows up?
I don't think leftists will show up for conservatives won't show up for leftists.
You don't think that they'll
that's
be
not how they work. What you would see to get the conservative side actually doing organized violence, you have to see what you would probably see are some sort of arrests, like this Truth or Reconciliation thing, arrests of key figures, and then probably in places where conservatives have government power, in a kind of organized fashion, they take over and announce, we're not playing. And then the left sometimes using perhaps military force, moves on them.
Like Governor Kristi Noem says, I'm not going to be a part of this.
Yeah, Kristi Noem says, hell no. They decide they're going to send, we're going to send the 1st Infantry Division up to, take South Dakota. Well, 1st Infantry Division drives into South Dakota and immediately comes under sniper fire.
This is terrifying thoughts, but
it's
is something.
Thought. I wrote
something
a book about it, but
I know you did.
It's an absolutely horrible thought. The thing is, here's the problem: you have a left that wants to take everything from the conservatives, their rights, their property, their liberty, their freedom, even their lives, if you listen to some of them. But the only thing keeping conservatives from doing what liberals do is the fact that we generally have something to lose: jobs, property, a future. So if they're succeeding in what they're doing, they're making the people they're doing it to, they're essentially pushing them in a corner and making them more likely to employ the same kind of tactics.
That which election scenario do you think is most likely to lead to that?
I think a disputed Biden win.
Not a disputed Trump win, because the left is already in the streets. They're already committing violence. It would just be of a focused purpose.
I think a disputed Trump win probably would have less, because the violence under a Biden scenario, if he took power, more tolerated. Right now, you've got, some elements of the DOJ sort of at least prosecuting some of these people. And no one is stopping local governments from doing it. They stop themselves. But if you had Biden, your police department, if you're arresting these people and prosecuting them, you get a call from the DOJ, we're investigating your police department for, brutality or whatever.
It's a scary, I look at these, there's really nothing that the Department of Justice can do for all of these rioters having their charges dropped summarily by these Soros-funded prosecutors, is there?
Correct. They accept charging federal crimes.
But the federal crimes, they're very specific. If somebody yes. traveled across state lines
That's
or
right.
certain crimes at a bank or something like that.
Yeah, most of them are not federal crimes.
So then there's really nothing the Department of Justice, could the state attorney general step in? Is there any, because the reason this keeps escalating is because of those Soros-funded prosecutors who are saying we're not going to charge
this. It only happens where you have top cover from a mayor or governor who won't let the police act and a Soros-funded DA who won't charge. You need that. And that's the only places you see these. Portland, Seattle. You can see it in Lancaster. They got arrested in Lancaster. Suddenly they're like $1 million bail. They're like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, they quickly stopped that
playing around.
Oh, and that
shit stopped instantly. The minute you stop playing footsies with these guys, remember, there's really three types of rioter types. There's the cadre, people organizing it, most of them communist. Criminals, regular street criminals. You look at the guys arrested, it's primarily street criminals. You know, meth heads. They don't give a shit what violence they're doing. They just want to do violence. And then the live action role players, the college kids, the elementary school teacher who's like a weekend Marxist. And, you probably get yourself laid, you know, if you're some dude. Hey, man, I got busted down in a riot in Portland. I mean, I got out in an hour and they dropped the charges, but, you know, I'm hardcore. It's a lot less fun when they go, a Fed sits across and he goes, no, you don't understand. You're looking at 5 actual years.
But that's the problem, Kurt, is by letting them out in an hour, taking their fingerprints and then dropping charges 2 weeks later when nobody's looking. There's no consequence. And so you keep going.
They don't
those people
want
keep,
consequences.
But
they
those
want
people
to encourage
keep,
it.
Well, right. Those people keep going back. And that maybe they weren't a brick thrower. Maybe they weren't a Molotov cocktail thrower or an opposition person puncher. But the more they get away with, the more they're likely to get swept up in the frenzy and become that person. So essentially, we have always had that anarchist element. But what we're seeing is anarchist seduction. We're seeing
yes.
more of this because of that. And there doesn't seem to be any way to stop that aside from mass arrests. And like you said, these jurisdictions are not interested in that.
Well, no. Actually, the feds are the only ones who can do what you need to do, which is get it at the cadre level, the organizer, the logistics level, find out who's funding them, and you get them at that level.
That could build a giant RICO case from this, could they not?
Oh, yes. One thing that we know from the wars we've lost over 20 years, back to how shitty our military is, if there's one thing we do know how to do, it's to map out enemy organizations. We did it with terrorists. We can do it with these guys. And there's incredible resources that the federal government has that could very quickly, you know, especially if you do whatever you need to do to get access to, credit card, cell calls and stuff that will, you know, figure out who's calling who, why, tie it to other transactions. I mean, we're actually fairly good at that.
I'd assume that the DOJ, the FBI are doing this. They kind of have to be, don't they?
I would, Hunter Biden's computer for a year.
Yeah, I know. But that's different. He's a Democrat. But if Biden gets elected, he can put an end to this. Like we will never get more release of classified Russiagate materials that show what the Obama-Biden administration was doing to spy on the Trump campaign. So it really is. Joe Biden almost needs to win in order to protect the existing power structure and himself and his friends from any consequences.
What they want to do is enshrine the lack of accountability. And there's no accountability with the justice system. There's no accountability with law enforcement, and there's no accountability by the press.
Well, there's culpability. There's
plenty of culpability, but there's no accountability.
So why
that's
are
what they want?
Is it just
that's the unsustainable?
Is it just the polls that makes you optimistic? What is, because I'm hopeful, but I'm pessimistic. I'm always pessimistic, but I find that things I'm hopeful for, things I wish were openly called for, never happen. So I sort of reverse psychology fate in a way. But it is, what are you seeing or hearing that makes you, other than your spidey sense tingling, makes you think that we're being slung a load of horse shit from polls and from the data that we've seen on early voting or anything like that?
The data from early voting shows that Democrats are voting now. And they're banking their votes. They were going to vote sometime, but Republicans have not come out yet. My ballot's sitting a few feet from me. It's been there for 2 weeks.
Oh, mine is right behind me. It's ready to go. It's filled out. It's just, I got to wait for my wife to fill out hers, and then I'll take it to the drop box.
Yeah, I mean, we're in no hurry to do it. Democrats have been told you have to vote now, and they are. So there are a lot of Republican votes. The other thing is, and here's my, you know, I could talk about, you know, the power of incumbency, the power of having a good economy, no foreign crises. You tend to win on those when those things are true. Joe Biden's not drawing crowds. Do our crowds a real measure? I don't know. Lack of Biden enthusiasm is demonstrated by signs and things. All right, that's something. I do know Trump's people are rabidly excited to vote for him. But here's the thing. I know some people who did not vote for Trump who are going to vote for him this time. I have been talking about this very question for about 4 months. I do not know. I have not found a single person that I know, and that includes social media, who says, I was for Trump last time. This time I'm going for Biden. I mean, none. Now, if we were having a, if this was a 10-point, 12-point race, that means Trump went down from, 46, 47% last time to about 40. So he's lost a seventh of his support. That's like 14%. I'd have met somebody who's not for Trump anymore. I'd have met a lot of people. And I haven't met any.
But it is a matter of, look, there's the rabid Trump supporters, there's the rabid Trump haters. Those people are going to vote no matter what. They're going to crawl over anything to vote. It's the people who don't have a passion or a real strong feeling about either that you've got to get to the polls. Now, Joe isn't going to bring those people out because he's not inspiring. But Donald Trump, do you think they're going to come out for him?
I think they'll come out for him. I also think that they'll come out from a dislike of Kamala Harris, who people generally identify as probably going to be taking over. And she's very unpopular. Well, I did have one anecdote of a couple old people who were considering not voting for Trump again, but they saw Kamala Harris and they returned to the fold.
Well, how does she won in California? You know, like you
well,
guys.
Well, California doesn't really give you a choice. They figure out who a Democrat and who you elect.
Well, I don't know. I want to ask you about the debates so far. The canceled debate. First of all, what'd you make of Chris Wallace?
That was a joke. I mean, you know, the media, we woke people always knew it was shitty. They've now stopped hiding it. Everyone now knows they're shitty. This is not like that. The idea that the media is full of liberal bias is not now no longer a niche notion on the right. It's like everybody knows it. Chris Wallace, you know, I actually thought he was going to do a better job because I thought he wanted to maintain credibility. But I keep being wrong about their motivations. It's not money. It's not even credibility. you know, Fox has taken the Matt Drudge kind of turn and turning away from its core audience. Why is it doing that? My feeling is, you know, social pressure. Now, you got this Steve Scully guy who was a dead-on Democrat the whole time. Now we got Kristen Welker, who comes from a Democrat donor family and has picked all sorts of topics like the global warming hoax, none of which are Joe Biden's corruption.
And none of which rate in the top 10 of issues that the vast majority of the country cares about.
LGBTQ, XY, N apostrophe, Lyra symbol, you know, hashtag. You know, I don't know why Trump's even doing this debate with her. I think it's just to show he doesn't give a shit.
Well, it's still a few days away. You never know. Joe has time to come down with something.
One of the topics needs to be Joe Biden's corruption. And you can drop the weather hoax or whatever you want, but you're a Democrat operative. And he said today in a tweet, he said, "Yeah, she's a Democrat operative. I know what I'm getting into. This isn't a surprise. They're not going to scare me off." But I just don't think it's. I think he could get a lot of play out of saying, unless you agree to talk about Joe Biden's thing, because they didn't at Stephanopoulos's thing.
No.
And of course, Guthrie couldn't bring it up. She's too busy, you know, yelling at him because he's not wearing enough masks, or he hasn't said he repudiates white supremacy for the 700th time.
In her defense, she has to work at NBC. If she had done a remotely close to fair job, she would have been, her next contract would not have been renewed.
She's got that weird, eager, mediocre suburban girl look. The kind of chick who loses her virginity, as I said on Twitter, loses her virginity to a guy with a business card that says he's a DJ, but he really works at Best Buy.
Hey, I've been both of those. Damn it, that's not cool. Accurate, but it's not cool.
You got Samantha Guthrie, huh?
Back in at the height of her powers, when I was a single guy, I would have. What about the VP debate? I thought that, you know, I knew that Mike Pence won the second they all said it was a draw. And what about that fly? They didn't want to talk about anything other than they both did well. And what about that fly? And first of all, somebody should have said something like, dude, you got a fly on your head. But secondly, that's a dead giveaway that, you know, they didn't. But the Democrats knew that Kamala Harris. How did Kamala Harris get this reputation as being this amazing politician, this great interrogator, this wonderful prosecutor? The Kavanaugh hearings, she was insane, spouting something about a conspiracy theory of some law firm nobody'd ever heard of, and she never followed through on it. Anybody who works at this law firm? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Who are you talking about? Do you know people who work there? Like, I don't know who works there. And then with Amy Coney Barrett, again, her line of questioning, she was handcuffed in that it had to be a campaign event, but she came off as dumb. If she's such a brilliant jurist and litigator, should she not need to read a script, read a teleprompter that was off to her right?
You would think. Kamala Harris is a distinctly unimpressive person. She's not wise. She's not a great politician. She got slaughtered in the primaries. People hate her. They like her because they know she'll obey.
Well, that's why Willie Brown dated her, right?
Well, but Willie knew what he wanted and evidently got it.
So we've got a couple of weeks left. We've got the Hunter Biden drip, drip, suicidal sort of death by a thousand cuts that I think that they're taking a playbook out of Andrew Breitbart. Because I remember when big government was launching, Mike Flynn, who was not General Flynn, but Mike Flynn, who was the first editor of big government, was a good friend of mine. And he would come to the Daily Caller offices all the time before there was a website. And he showed me those Acorn videos about a month before big government launched. And I said, and he told me what they were going to do with them. And I said, well, why don't you just put them all out there, kill them, you know, death blow, killing maneuver. And he said, no, Andrew, he explained Andrew's thinking. So you put one out there and you let them deny it. And one-off thing, it's only one thing. It never, you know, it's just an anomaly. And then you put the next one out. And they say, well, it's a twofer, but it's just an anomaly. And then it's death by a thousand cuts. You give them enough rope, you let them hang themselves. That seems to be what's happening with Hunter Biden's laptop, except the media isn't talking about it. You mentioned Snuffleupagus. He didn't bring it up. Joe Biden was finally asked about it the other day on Friday, I think. And he snapped at the reporter from CBS News, who's, you know, on your side. He's on your team, dude. But he snapped at him and didn't deny it. He just called it a smear job. Well, you can have a smear job that's 100% accurate. If Joe is cheating on Mika, you can smear Joe for cheating on Mika. That doesn't mean Joe isn't cheating on Mika. Right. So
I mean, she's like the anti-Viagra.
I know.
I mean, she's not Gretchen Whitmer, who I like to call Gretchen She-Wolf of Saginaw.
She's terrible. My family is stuck under her reign.
I like to call her Governor Stormfront.
I just call her Whitler. Adolf Whitler.
Whitler. God, she just has this weird blank stare.
She really does, and she sounds vaguely Canadian in her accent, which makes me not trust her, too. Oh, no, I know.
Why is Michigan such a fucked up state?
California. You know what? Yeah, exactly. You know what happened is the last governor, it was Flint. It was Flint. And he was seen as not caring. And so people, because we've always been kind of a purplish state. We've gone from, you know, Jim Blanchard to John Engler to Democrat to Republican, back and forth. It was Democrats' time, and the governor gave them an excuse. Now, Flint wasn't his fault, but he could have really stepped up and stepped out and said, we're going to do come hell or high water. We're going to move mountains to make this right, cover up for your fucked up local government that really is the one who poisoned all those people. But he didn't. And so for whatever reason, he didn't. Mostly incompetence and, you know, sort of a, well, that's not really my job. We'll assist and help. No, you got to, when you've got incompetent leadership somewhere and people are getting hurt, you got to come in and basically usurp that leadership role. And he could have changed it and he didn't. So we get a Democrat. We get this vaguely Canadian moron and we get her for 4 years. Given that we had that idiot who was Canadian before, I can't even remember her name.
It was Granholm.
Like, yes, Jennifer Granholm, who did such a shitty job. You know, when a governor leaves, they usually get a job in the state, a teaching position at the state university, something. She had to go to California to get a job. She'd done such a bad job in Michigan that nobody wanted to hire her, not even the University of Michigan. She had to go 3,000 miles away to get a job. So that lets you know. You know, you got her. Congratulations. She's out there with you guys. She's at least she's Canadian and can never be president. Thank God.
Oh.
But all right, let's shift gears just for a second in the time we have left about the media and your. I've always known that and seen that media is full of shit. But it used to be what's on the cutting room floor. That was the beauty of what back when he was sane and useful was. Matt Drudge, as he showed you what was on the cutting room floor. Same goes for Fox. They showed you what was on the cutting room floor. It was not that Democrats' media was lying to you as much as it was omitting very relevant information from you. And the conservative world that popped up online was Toto pulling the curtain back and showing the little fat man running the strings. Now the media is, they're just straight out lying to you. They don't care. They will tell you that up is down. They'll stand in front of a building and say, what is such a, that's burning. It's such a peaceful protest here. I've never felt more solidarity in my whole life.
And we're supposed to believe their polls.
Well, that's true, but you've got to understand, like, I get it. The poll makers want, do you really think they're willing to just take a crap on their credibility? Because if
yes.
Trump again, wins,
the
Washington Post,
the establishment's edge is a total lack of accountability. If you're never going to be held accountable, then you're going to do whatever you want. They did this 4 years ago, and they're not holding their pollsters accountable.
Well, 4 years ago could be somewhat chalked up to Donald Trump brought out a whole bunch of people who never voted before or hadn't voted in years. And, you know, no polling model ever had people who never voted before when they're 40 years old showing up.
These ones don't either, which is another thing. If the only guy you ever voted for was Trump, you voted once in the last 4 or 5 years. You are not a likely voter. You are not going to be polled, although you're going to vote.
Well, it'll be interesting because nobody's hedging their bets. You know, that's what I think is missing from this, is that the Gallup poll. If they say Biden by 12 and then Biden loses by, or even just wins the popular vote by one, but loses the Electoral College, I don't know whoever would believe them again. Nate Silver, everybody acted in the media like he shit gold because 1 year in the midterms, he predicted correctly every single House race. Well, congratulations. 90% of them are tap and putts. So you really only have
few of them. Super hard.
No, but, you know, the rest of them that he didn't get any wrong. OK, that's great. That's not a sign of his genius as much as it is. You know, some people hit the lottery. You know, it's every week. But his reputation has gone down because he was the one who's like 97% Hillary Clinton wins. This is easy. It's over. And he didn't. And now Nate Silver, they try to revive him every once in a while. He's got the weirdest, worst comb over I've ever seen, by the way. It's like, We know you're bald. Just accept it. But his credibility is shot. It's fine. It's Nate Silver in one website. He doesn't give a shit. He wants ad revenue and he wants a corporate sponsor. Gallup is different. If they shit the bed really badly, they're going to have to revamp their whole company and hope that that people go back to them, because they are, if they're that wrong, it's really damaging to their brand. It is, you know, the Samsung Galaxy, whatever it was, setting fire to your crotch because it's just defective. It's brand damaging for some of them. So you really think, are you thinking they're wrong or do you think they're manipulating?
I think it's both. I think that they happily play with their cross tabs to get a result that's going to please their masters. And frankly, I think they are trying to dissuade conservative voters. I think that they're more than happy to do this. Again, I have yet to meet somebody who's... Have you met somebody who's changed? Who was for Trump and isn't now? Who's not like... I mean, the Never Trumpers were always Never Trump. But have you met anybody like that?
No, but I've been...
Don't you think you would?
No, I see a couple of people who claim to be that on Twitter, and then they're, you know, tangentially associated with the Lincoln Project or something like that.
Yeah, you see, you know, every once in a while you get some sexless gibbo going, "This is a video of why I can't support Donald Trump. His tweets are mean, requiring me to destroy the Republic to save it.
I know.
Otherwise he'll tweet mean things. Well, I've never made love to a woman."
I love these Never Trumpers who are like, well, he's sure he's implementing everything I've said I care about and have made millions of dollars over the previous decades advocating for. He's actually doing them. But the way he tweets, which I've never seen him. Yeah. Every once in a while he tweets something and I'm like, oh, geez, I wouldn't have tweeted that if I were president. But I also know that he doesn't then sign an executive order locking up Jim Acosta.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Bitch about Jim Acosta all he wants, and Jim Acosta can tweet about fascism this, fascism that, and like, dude, you're free to bitch about it. You had a tweet today, I forget who it was that had tweeted about how Donald Trump was a fascist dictator.
Oh, yeah.
Get very few chances to vote out a fascist dictator.
Yes, that was this moron. Buttigieg.
Yeah, you reminded him that you don't really get a chance ever. If he's really a fascist, there is no vote.
If he's really a fascist, if you got a vote, that's a good indicator it's not a fascist regime.
I just don't know how even if Donald Trump wins. If Donald Trump wins, what happens to the Democrats? Do they go crazier? Or does somebody come in and go, we've got...
what they should do is have the kind of soul searching they had that brought us Bill Clinton, where they took a look at a lot of their stuff and said, we're just not connecting with our people anymore. Because remember the Reagan Democrats.
Yes.
And Bill Clinton came in. You guys remember, Bill Clinton was anti-crime. And while he wasn't a hawk, he was not anti-military. I mean, he just... and they, the current Democrats, it's really hard to do things like embrace crime, which Democrats have done. And that's a compelling point. If they lose, and I think we're going to end up keeping the Senate, and we could improve our, or maybe even win the House. I think the Democrats are going to have to look really carefully at themselves and say, can we be a party entirely run by a bunch of blue state urban sissies?
But I don't, like, does AOC, you think AOC basically seizes power rather than marginalize?
Because
a normal party would go, we've gone too far, we've got to pump the brakes.
Yes, that's what a normal party would do. But these are Democrats. I don't know if they have the capacity to do it. You know,
I don't know if they have the person to do it. I don't know who that person.
Well, I don't know who the person to tell them no is.
Honestly, last year or 6 months ago, actually more than six, last year during the primary when Joe Biden got in, if Joe Biden had come in and said, look, and done had a sister soldier moment with the extreme left and did get. Give a great speech about how, look, they're our opponents. They're not our enemies. Not everything is, this is a great country. We have our problems, but we're not fundamentally racist. And he really just talked like a sane human being. I think there was room in the Democratic Party for that. But Joe came in and he just parroted, you know, it's kind of what Joe was for most of his career because all he cared about was getting reelected. But he came in and he just parroted everybody else. And that sister soldier opportunity passed him to the point that he not only hasn't been asked about it, but hasn't condemned violent Antifa violence. He says, I condemn all kinds of violence. Well, how is that any different than what Donald Trump said or what they say Donald Trump said about Charlottesville? There are good people on both sides. Joe Biden's basically saying there are bad people on both sides. One side is actively beating the shit out of people and the other side isn't. Donald Trump unequivocally 3 seconds before he said there were other good people out there, he said, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. They should be condemned totally. That's a direct quote of what the president said that's always cut out. Joe Biden hasn't even pretended that there's any violence on the left, except in vaguely saying all violence is wrong. And it's like watching somebody beat their wife while you're in the room and, well, beating your wife. Anybody beating their wife is wrong. Like, well, what about the guy beating his wife? Go stop that guy beating his wife. No. Everybody who beats their wife is wrong. And it's like, okay, but you're ignoring the problem right in front of you.
He's trying to thread the needle. He's trying to have it both ways. I think you're right. I don't know who the leader is who could say, you know, we can't build a coalition on screwing the working class. You know, they gave up the working class. They call it white working class, but it's actually we're actually getting starting to gather significant Hispanic and Black votes because it's all about people being able to get jobs, support their family, not getting their kids killed in some stupid war.
That's another thing. The establishment seems to hate Donald Trump for wanting to bring the troops home.
Oh my gosh, they hate that so much.
Steve Hayes, who I personally like, is every time personally he's always been very nice to me whenever we've met or hung out or talked or anything. But he is a hawk. And he every time there's talk of bringing our troops home from Afghanistan, which if Afghanistan can't stand on its own and not be overthrown by a bunch of totalitarians after this many years, then they deserve to be run with an iron fist by Islamists.
Well, look, if the freedom of Afghanistan is not worth it to the Afghans, why is it worth it to, you know, some 20-year-old paratrooper from Omaha?
It's a good question. Why is it so worth it to so many conservatives and liberals, so many people in Washington? Is it just straight up the money?
I think that's a part of it. And let's be clear. For the military, having a war means you have a place to go be in a war. That helps your career. But there's also the problem that if you're a hammer, everything looks to you like a nail. I think there are a lot of contractors and hangers-on who are making a ton of money off Afghanistan. We sunk trillions into that money pit. For what?
Well, you'd think it would be Wakanda with as much money as we've thrown into it.
Exactly.
They have technology over there. But they probably have fewer goats now than they did. And, like, the average person is worse off, but the average military contractor is better off, and the average, bureaucrat over in Afghanistan at least has a job and some power. Just enough is enough. Yet, Joe, I guess, do you think we're not sick of war because we don't hear about war? Because
I think we are sick of wars.
Well, I mean,
I think the establishment is not sick of wars because it's fun to have power and exercise it.
It's a scary, scary thought. All right, we got a debate this Thursday, Kurt, as we wrap it up. Is the debate going to happen?
I think it will happen. I'm going to do my best not to watch it. I might get sucked into town hall to watch it.
But is Trump? Because both of them were kind of pains in the ass in the first debate.
I found it irritating.
I think the best strategy for Trump is to let Joe Biden talk. The more he talks,
I think that's a good strategy. But the idea that he's going to talk himself into a corner is just I just don't think that's going to happen. But I think I think Trump needs to be forceful and make his point when she goes, "I'd like to talk to you about the scientifically proven fact of global warming." And which, if I were Trump, I go, I understand your question about the weather. And I'm not going to destroy our economy because a bunch of liberals in San Francisco are worried it's going to be a degree hotter in 200 years. You haven't asked me a question about Joe Biden and his influence peddling and the computer that shows, the evidence that shows he was selling access to himself. And you need to ask me about that. That's what I'd do if I was Trump. I'd just be very polite. Say, but you've got to ask me about that. This stuff about the weather is just silly and frivolous. That's the big question. You need to ask about it.
No, there's no point in him answering the question about climate change because none of his voters are motivated by that.
Yes, my clients are not motivated by paranoia about the weather. My clients want to know about good jobs. I'm never going to. If you are a fracker, you will be working your tail off with more work than you could ever hope for if I'm reelected. If he's elected, you're out of the job. Your family's out of the job. All the people, and if you support people who frack, by feeding them or fueling them or transporting for them, you're out of a job too. That's my global warming position.
Get you to the debate prep session. You can take over for Chris Christie. Since he got COVID last time. Is it what?
Isn't he diseased? Yeah, he's got COVID, right?
No, he's clean now. He made it out. He's out of the hospital. He survived.
I hear they're paying him in ham.
That super spreader event had no casualties, luckily. So that's good. Oh, let me ask you one last thing about Amy Coney Barrett.
Yay!
You excited about this nomination?
Yeah, I am. I think she's terrific. She's legit terrific. They know they can't lay a glove on her. It's driving them nuts. She's going to be a great force on the court. I'm very, very happy with what happened. I have been endlessly amused, though, that now the dying wish of an unelected government employee takes precedence over my wishes as an American citizen who happens to be alive.
Hey, don't pretend like George Stephanopoulos and his family, you and Arena and the kids didn't spend 45 minutes crying in the car when Darth Vader Ginsburg died.
She was one of the few opponents who I actually respected just because of her toughness.
You knew where she stood. Unfortunately, you usually knew how she was going to vote.
Place. Too. I liked that she could fight. She was able to hold on as long as she did. I respect that. I never hated her. I thought that, she's good enough for Scalia to pal around with. She's maybe okay, although I think her jurisprudence is tremendously destructive and wrong.
See, right there at the end, we got a kumbaya bipartisan moment here on the show.
Ew, I'm not bipartisan curious.
Kurt hugged it out with the rotting corpse of Darth Vader Ginsburg. Lovely. Thanks a lot for the time. Thanks for the time, Kurt.
Thanks, man.
Thanks to Kurt Schlichter for coming on the show. And let me poke myself into his Sunday afternoon. I assume since it's Southern California, the weather was beautiful. And he was telling me that he'd been grilling hamburgers. So I know the weather was beautiful. It's actually a beautiful day here in the nation's capital area, too. We'll be back tomorrow with another exciting episode as we inch ever closer to decision day and the last debate. See you then. Thanks for listening.